at it. Thank you. You're listening to Revolution Rock here on CJAM 99.1 FM in the Windsor, Detroit area. I'm your host, Dave, joined with Adam. We're also syndicating across several different stations throughout Canada. We just ended off that set with brand new music from Toronto-based band Mad Ones.
Mm-hmm. We heard something from What It Takes, and we heard the track Hydra Head. Prior to that, we heard some new music from Antenna 93. So this is a post-punk band with some garage elements. They hail from Montreal. We heard something from a release from this year titled You're Not Made for This Business. The track was called Waiting.
Part of that, we heard music from a newer Windsor group called The Painted October. And we heard their new digital single called Champagne Dress. This band's very influenced by a lot of early 60s psych bands. Jefferson Airplane, you can hear that influence.
Reverberates in there. I'm even hearing a little bit of like maybe some of like 60s psychedelica from maybe even from England, like early Pink Floyd as well.
Yeah, really cool stuff. And thanks to the band for sending me that song. Send more if you have it.
Please do. It is much appreciated. Now, before that, we heard some music from The Garys, one of our favorite groups that we play around here on CJAM. Now, we did have an opportunity to talk to what was at the time the full lineup of The Garys. I believe that was about 2, maybe 3 years ago.
Yeah.
With that said, though, now that's no longer true because they have an additional member, their brother.
Yeah, so it's, they're still all same family, but now they've added their brother on guitar for some additional guitar, and he's featured on this recording along with all three sisters in the group, and the song is called Cakewalk.
Fantastic song, and I hope this is a prelude to a forthcoming record because I love the fleshed out sound they have. Obviously, we played the heck out of that last Garys record. Huge fans here, so Garys, please always make some more music. And we started things off there with a new track from Run Coyote. We heard a single titled No More Running.
Yeah, this is from a forthcoming EP. You can find that now on streaming services and their Bandcamp page. And that's how we started off the set, as Adam mentioned. Okay, well, next we're actually going to be playing some music by Weezer.
It's kind of weird saying that on all stations. Obviously, the independent radio gods like hated hearing that because they just made a little collision with your microphone.
Yeah, that's what happened. We'll say that. But no, this album is celebrating its 30th anniversary. And to be honest, it was a really important album at the time, and a lot of people still really like it, and it's got some great songs on it.
It really does. And you know, we talked about what's the legacy, what's the lineage of it. Well, at a time when you look at the mainstream rock picture, everything was really grunge or grunge adjacent. It was all about having those gnarly, having some very gruff vocals. Weezer weren't really about that. They certainly were, I guess you could say, kind of pigeonholed in there into alternative rock to an extent, but their sound was a lot cleaner.
More poppy.
A lot brighter, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, to all the thing, they kind of reinvigorated the genre of power pop with their group.
Yes.
Evoking a lot of great stuff. And not to say that power pop was embryonic at this point. Like, Matthew Sweet had been releasing a number of great records during the early 90s. But still, it's something to be said about how they popularized it. Almost to a fault, to the point where almost anyone with a guitar, if you had a 14-year-old boy who heard this record, everyone learned how to play every song from it. But I think that also speaks to the type of experience people had, where there was a lot of relatability in the lyrics, where Rivers Cuomo was not, let's just say that, he was not averse to voicing some embarrassing, potentially, subject matter in there, and yet it worked. And I think a lot of people related to it in the way that a lot of like the sorrowful, very on the sleeve angst of grunge didn't quite encapsulate. Here, this was not an album about being a cool guy in a rock band. This was about being a nerdy guy who happens to like rock and roll. And I think that struck a chord with people, so much so that the album at one point was certified triple platinum, which is incredible to think about any record in this day and age actually achieving.
Yeah, and another interesting fact is when the band was making the album, they actually had a different band member who recorded parts but left before the album was released.
Yeah, that was Jason Cropper. Now, Cropper himself had been with the band since its inception, I believe in 1992, and you can actually hear him on the much publicized and eventually I want to say bootlegged Kitchen Tapes demo.
Yeah.
But yeah, Cropper was someone who was the original rhythm guitarist, and he went on to front some other bands down the road like Flip Top and Chopper One. But unfortunately, because of some life situations that were going on, he had a little bit of a situation going on where Rivers Cuomo didn't want him jeopardizing the quality or the end product of the album, so he fired him. He fired him from the band just at a time when he had actually finished all of his guitar parts on this record. So Rivers Cuomo actually went in the studio and recorded all of Jason Cropper's lines over by himself. There's a quote here, actually, from an interview with Rick Ocasek, who produced the album itself. So apparently, Cuomo went up to Rick Ocasek and said, "I'm firing the guitar player, and I'm going to do all his parts over." Now, apparently to this, Rick Ocasek said, "You can't do that." But then he did. He did it all in one take, and really there's no credit to any of the songwriting or any of the instrumentals that were provided by Cropper, aside from the opening for the song we're going to actually open this setup with, the opening song on the album, and one of the only ones that was not, I think, a massive hit that we can get somewhat away with playing, which
Saying
is...
So.
Yeah, exactly. No, we're going to play My Name is Jonas.
Yeah.
And just to show the influence of this album thereafter, we're going to play some covers from a range of artists paying tribute to it. And I think we can see where the lineage fell for this record and how it influenced a number of artists coming forward. But yeah, this is us celebrating 30 years of the debut album from Weezer, simply titled Weezer, or otherwise known by fans as The Blue Record. And also the album that Weezer has time and time again tried to recapture the magic of, if only by their album covers, and failing time and time again. But this is not my chance to crap on Weezer's contemporary records, but to celebrate when they were really great. And here we are with one of those tracks, My Name is Jonas, from Weezer, here on Revolution Rock.
Come sit next to me for you. thank you.
Oh, yeah, baby. Got the Vive champagne. Here we go now.
Thank you.
I made